You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. Hard-hitting analysis.
What, is everyone like a little guy like Jonas walking in there that's 112
well, most
pounds?
Most models are.
Sure, I guess you could call it that.
H&M should have a side store, the H&M grit grinder section.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
The Maple Leaf game night tonight. They're in San Jose taking on the Sharks. We're teeing it up throughout the afternoon. Thursday nighter, the Packers in Seattle taking on the Seahawks. Raptors choking away a game last night. And Dwayne Casey, I've never seen that kind of emotion out of him after a win. I've never seen anything close to it. And he obviously felt very, very good about his team's response because the Raptors were up 19. They had that in the bag at home against an inferior team. There's no excuse for blowing that. But that's exactly what happened.
It's one of the problems for the Raps, and I'm the casual fan. The games I watch, though, the leads they blow are just, it's incredible. It seems like Groundhog Day. A lot of the games I watch, it's like up by 15, up by 20, and all of a sudden it's like 3-point game with 2 minutes left. It's like, it happens, I don't know. I watch a lot, but a lot of times I watch, it's the same story over and over again.
I think really what sticks out
is am I right? Or?
Well, they've blown a lot of teams out. So what's happened right. A lot is they're up big, and what's happened multiple times is, like against the Lakers, they were up huge, and then it kind of got a bit dicey there.
They take their foot off the gas.
That's what happens. The second unit goes in, they slow down a little bit, and last night was the first time it really, really got away from them to the point where they lost. And that's why I think it sticks out a little bit the way the game finished with Kawhi Leonard, who has played really well, and his stat line was very solid last night. But he turned the ball over multiple times with 2 or 3 minutes left to go. That's when you need him to close, including him literally booting the ball out of bounds with 10 seconds to go coming out of a timeout.
Yeah, that it happens.
It happens.
I just couldn't stop laughing at the reaction of the player. That like you know how guys trash talk? Like, the guy was just trash-talking him, cheering. Now, I don't think Detroit is going to have the season that the Raptors are going to have, but it was, you know, the game within the game. You're guarding a guy, especially an elite player like that, and they make a mistake. I don't know if trash-talking is the right play at that point, because you know it's going to come back to bite you.
Well, what's interesting is the Clippers are believed to be the front-runners to acquire Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. So I don't think that's going to matter necessarily. Hey, some guy might have been chirping me because I made a mistake in a game in November, but that's the reality of pro sports, man. Guys make pit stops at different
it's true.
Stops, and you run into guys that you've had beef with before or whatever, and I don't know. Jabari Greer coming up at 5:30. He'll join us in studio to tee up the Thursday night or tonight. Packers, Seahawks, both in must-win mode. They both have to win games. I think the Packers can afford to lose maybe one game the rest of the way. And I think Mike McCarthy and Pete Carroll are both coaching for their lives. So we'll see what Jabari Greer has to say about that at 5:30. Chris Pronger will join us here in a moment. Ray is off today. He's traveling to Anaheim for the Leafs-Ducks game tomorrow night. And news just came out because there is a connection between the Panthers and what happened in Winnipeg last night. If you missed it, Josh Morrissey, defenseman for the Jets, pulled a Mike Matheson, and he finished his check on TJ Oshie, and he threw him to the ice a little bit. And Oshie looked like he was a bit wonky.
Called a blank slap, fill in the blank.
Yes, and Matheson did that to Elias Gretzky earlier in the season, and Matheson got 2 games for it.
The
You're
paper
going
boy.
With that, eh?
And for whatever reason, Morrissey, it looked very similar, but Morrissey only got fined. He didn't get suspended.
Now, I'd have to look at the video of the Matheson one. Did they feel that there was a bit of a slew foot involved? I don't remember.
It was a grown-ass man grabbing a kid and throwing him against the ice. This was the same hit. How these people decipher which one is different, all these experts are saying, oh, there's a bit of a time delay when he was up in the air. He delayed a bit, and then it was the same thing. It was a blank slap.
Now, what's different is Oshie is a beast.
Yeah,
like a lot of the reaction to Pettersson was, well, you got to put on weight. Oshie doesn't have to put on weight. and no. Morrissey threw him
so
around.
So why does one guy get a fine, the other guy gets two games?
I don't have the explanation.
Yeah,
nobody, I don't know who does.
Who does? Like, does anybody get to come out and say?
I think Florida deserves to really have a beef here because I didn't like the idea that Mathieson got suspended anyway. I didn't like the injury. You know, I didn't like to see it all play out. And it was rough. It was physical. It might have been slightly unnecessary. I didn't think it was worthy of a two-game suspension, but so be it. But I would think if you're in Florida, you're like, okay, well, obviously then Morrissey gets a two-game for the same thing.
Right.
No. Why does he get fined and our guy gets a two-game suspension?
Yeah, I'm sure there's...
Well, we happen to have a guy that works for the Florida Panthers online.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I'm sure he can give us a bit of a comment on that. Here is friend of the show and senior advisor to the president of hockey operations down in Florida, Chris Pronger. How you doing, Chris?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for the intro.
Yeah, absolutely. We didn't mention Hall of Famer this time. I'm not allowed to say that. That was on purpose. We can't call you a Hall of Famer.
Well, I got to ask you, Prongs. We were at the Hall of Fame the other day. I don't believe you were there, were you?
I was not.
Some of the guys, like there's a lot of people that show up, and a bunch of the Hall of Famers didn't have their Hall of Fame jacket on. Do you ever wear your jacket like to a cocktail party or anything like that?
I do not, and I'm gonna.
Why?
There's probably,
why?
There's two trains of thought. Either A, it doesn't fit anymore, or B, you don't need to showboat and show it off.
He's not a lunatic. That's basically what I'm saying.
People know.
No. I would.
And if they don't know, then they don't need to know.
Exactly.
I'd wear it every game I went to, just every game. And as soon as I had a chat with somebody, I would turn to the left so they saw the logo. I guess it's one of those things where if you don't have it, you really want it. And when you have it, you're like, nah, whatever.
Well, I think, I would think most hockey players are pretty humble and down to earth, maybe with the exception of you, O-Dog.
Okay, then give me your jacket and I'll wear your jacket.
I don't think that's going to fit you, fella.
All right, I know what you mean. The arms will be too long.
Well, you're the perfect guy to talk to about this. We're just mentioning that Josh Morrissey got fined for that hit on TJ Oshie. You're a guy that's worked in the NHL offices, and now obviously you work with the Panthers, and your guy Mike Mathieson was handed a two-game suspension for what looked like a very similar hit. How do you feel about Mathieson getting two games and now Morrissey only getting a fine?
It was similar but different. I haven't seen the NHL's video and reasoning why, so I'm going to temper my vitriol, but... I guess I would say Matheson's was two distinct actions and Morrissey was one. I personally don't see the difference. They do, and that's why they do what they do, and I no longer do it. But, I think it's disappointing. I wasn't a big fan of the Matheson two-game suspension either. A kid weighs 160 pounds. He manhandled him and threw him to the ground. I get the puck had already gone away, but that's still part of the game. It's physical. Unfortunately, the player got hurt. I think had the player not gotten a concussion and hurt on the play, the referee didn't call it. There was no penalty on the play. There was no real outcry other than the fact the player got hurt. And I think it played a part in it. You know, I think player safety is also there to protect the players in lieu of injury, in lieu of something vicious. I don't think it was malicious or intentional in any right, but it's a decision. We lived with it and we're moving on from it, winning hockey games again, which is all that we're trying to do.
Chris, we'll just finish up right there, but as far as Mike Mathieson, I mean, my understanding is you hear that there were some comments made to him and some stuff that happened to him as far as threats and even players in Vancouver. I mean, where do you stand on stuff like that?
Well, I think everybody just needs to take a chill pill as it relates to the whatever their affiliation is with the team, fan bases, etc. You know, Maddie had death threats on Twitter and all the rest, and I heard that some of the Vancouver players that did not allegedly do anything to Mathieson were getting death threats as well. So it doesn't surprise me in today's world we live in, yet for all those Twitter tough guys sitting at home on their keyboards, you might want to take a chill pill and relax and realize it's just a sport. Guys are having fun playing, and it can be an emotional game. It can be a physical game, but at the end of the day, we all get up, walk home, and see our families and our loved ones and go on about our day. And I think, you know, we just need to relax. It can be emotional as a fan, but you got to kind of take a step back and take a deep breath.
Prongs, do you think we're getting away from open ice hits being gone from the game altogether? It seems like when there's a clean one, you got to fight. I don't know. I look at it and I'm like, why does that guy have to fight? And I understand if he hit Wayne Gretzky or Connor McDavid, you might have to deal with some chirping and some body contact later in the game. But it's like every open ice hit, it seems like a brawl. So it's like, why do it? Or it's a suspension. It's just going out of the game.
It's a little sad that every time there's a clean open ice body check, somebody's challenging the guy.
Yeah.
It's like you're not allowed to hit anybody. And when I played and when you played, when you got hit hard like that, your teammates were telling you to get your head up.
That's it. Get your head up, kid.
They weren't going to fight the guy. Get your head up. Learn a lesson. Keep your head up and it won't happen.
That's crazy.
Unfortunately now, it's gotten a little out of hand.
Chris, with the parity of the league right now, we were just talking about it last segment and how there's some injuries throughout, especially out east. Vasilevsky now could be out a month. Boston is banged up. Chara left the game last night. Now you guys have, I believe, three games in hand, and you're starting to get a little bit healthy and coming on. Is that something you guys have focused on? And also, I haven't even mentioned that your schedule was real tough at the start of the season. Is that something that Bobby Bugner tries to hammer home with the guys?
Well, I think. We had very few games early on because of our Finland trip. We had a week off prior to, a week off after, and then a lot of travel in between going on the road and playing in some tough buildings. And, as you said, we've got three games in hand now. We're fairly healthy. Obviously, getting Lou back was a big shot in the arm for us, and that's kind of been where, we had a little bit of resurgence and got on this little five-game winning streak. But you look at our lineup now and where guys sit in and we're starting to get chemistry amongst all the lines, kind of juggled the lines around a little bit and got guys into the right situation. You look at the Dadonov, Barkov, Hoffman line, they're on fire. They've been impressive the last four or five games. So I think the lines have kind of settled in and guys have earned their respective roles. And now it's, Lou's held down the fort. Rhymes played really good the other night against Ottawa. So we're hopefully coming on and continue to win hockey games here and use those three games in hand to our advantage and get back in the playoff race.
With Chris Pronger, senior advisor to the president of hockey ops down in Florida, I'm glad you mentioned Mike Hoffman because he was obviously a big part of the conversation during the offseason with his departure in Florida, and you guys acquired him. But he's been quiet in terms of the headlines, but his numbers have been outstanding. I think he had 13 in a row.
He's tied Bure, I believe.
Right, 13 games in a row with a point. I mean, needless to say, he's fit in pretty well, but has he exceeded your expectations?
Well, I think, you know what, if you look at where he started the season, he was on the third line. They were trying to find a spot for him where he fit in best. He was on the second line for a while, then he was on the third line for a while, just trying to work on the lines and the matchups and all the rest of that. And since he's moved up to the number one line with Barkov, he's kind of really taken off. But all the while, looking for the right fit line-wise, he's been producing, which is nice to see. You know, no matter who he played with, he was producing and getting points for us and helping us win. At the end of the day, that's what we're more worried about than anything. So, I think he's found a little bit of a home there with Dadonov and Barkov, and they've been playing extremely well, and we're looking forward to seeing some more of that, I hope.
Well, continued success once you guys finally catch up to the rest of the league in terms of games played, and we always appreciate you finding time for us, and we'll do it again down the road.
My pleasure, boys. Take care. O-Dog, I'll let the seams out on the coat for you.
Just on the arms. Just shorten the arms.
Thanks, Prongs.
All right, see you guys.
There's Chris Pronger, senior advisor to the president of hockey ops down in Florida and Hockey Hall of Famer.
I don't know where you find a spot to wear that coat. Just that Hall of Fame functions, correct? I mean, I guess.
I think Hall of Fame is a step above alumni.
If I go out for a nice dinner and like...
You belong to...
Lauderdale? Like a nice fall dinner.
Right.
But don't you belong to I'm not sure. Do you belong to a golf club? Or have you're kind of like,
But they don't have goofy jackets, do they?
No, but
I those are the worst. They're so pompous. Like, oh, if you're in the club long enough, you get a silly jacket that you wear. That is so stupid.
I remember being in Florida.
Well, what's the difference between that and a Hall of Fame jacket? Like, it's a jacket. You're a part of a club.
I'll tell you the difference. In order to get to the Hall of Fame, you had to have talent to play.
Right.
If I have money, I'm in the club. Like, any bozo off the street can walk into a golf club and be like, here, I'm in, and now
trust
I get a jacket.
Yeah.
Why do you get a jacket? Because you decided to join the club?
If I had a Hall of Fame jacket, every nice dinner I ever went to, on.
I just remember going to a golf club in Florida years ago, during at Christmas time, during the lockout, the first lockout. And I was dating a girl, and we went to her, like, grandfather's club. I wasn't dressed properly. They made me wear, like, I had to wear some grubby coat they pulled out of the closet.
Well, that place in St. Louis, it's called Tony's, right?
Yeah,
you got to wear a jacket there. If you don't have one, they'll pull a grubby one out of the back.
But that's a five-star hotel, like, a five-star restaurant. Like, it's actually rated across America as one of the top-rated restaurants.
So right.
You have to wear a coat. If you roll in there with a golf shirt on, they will give you a coat. It's almost like the Seinfeld episode.
The Friars Club.
Yeah, the Friars Club.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's a little bit pretentious, like forcing people to wear jackets.
There's got to be a line for the Hall of Fame coat.
Well, Hall of Fame is such an exclusive club.
But I guarantee you, like, we had Scotty Niedermeyer the other day on our show. I guarantee you, his is like collecting dust in a closet.
Well, to each their own, I guess. You know, some people are jacket wearers, some people aren't.
But who would be?
I asked Bobby Mack at lunch the other day. Where's your jacket? He said, I don't know.
Yeah.
So he has one, obviously. He's been...
Yeah, it's Hall of Fame.
He hasn't worn it since.
That surprises me. I thought Bob, because he's on the panel, like,
yeah,
he's actually heavily involved.
Where's there an opportunity for him to wear his
Hall of Fame? Hall of Fame luncheon.
Like, I thought he would have had his on. He's like, no, I don't...
That's where you wear it.
He doesn't wear it.
Yeah, I guess if you're... If
I would happily wear it there.
If he was speaking that night,
if I was Bobby Mack, I would have the Hall of Fame jacket on at the cottage, have a cigar.
With shorts on.
Every evening after dinner, with shorts.
But nobody gets to see it.
Gear down with nothing.
No one gets to see it. You know, it would just be Mrs. Mack and his kids, you know.
Yeah, because nobody's invited to the cottage other than that. Somebody's went out this summer. Didn't Pierre LeBrun or somebody go out?
I don't know.
No way.
I don't think so.
Bobby Mack
impossible.
Is the invitation.
Can't find it.
It's like getting into the Hall of Fame.
Hang on a sec. I want to hear who this is. This guy's been calling me for 6 weeks.
Well,
I can tell you who it is.
Well, hello.
Hi, can I speak with Jeff Ondel?
Yeah, you got to stop calling me. You've been calling me for 6 weeks. This is garbage. I'm like, hey, enough.
Who are
enough.
You? Ask him who
nah,
he is.
It's a fake collection agency. What, for Rogers? Cut it out.
You know,
for Rogers.
There are those stamps. Wow, just,
I love how it had to be for Rogers.
Exactly. No, they're like, you didn't pay for your cable box or whatever. And I'm like, I went to Rogers and I'm like, is this a problem? No.
Why do you go with them anyway?
What?
Come over to Bell. Yeah. Five is the best
Whatever.
In the business.
This guy calls me 20 times a day. I've had enough.
Well, okay.
Do you have a bill, though?
Who cares? I pay my bills.
Oh, no, I mean, but do you have an outstanding bill? Maybe they've...
No, I don't.
All right.
It's all good.
Jabari Greer is going to be in studio. Get his take on the Thursday night or tonight.
You want to call him back and see what he wants?
No, I don't care about that guy.
Nah, me neither.
Everybody gets these random calls.
I can't take it anymore.
You know what the most recent one is, are these? They're scams.
They're automated.
They're saying that the CRA, you owe CRA money and stuff.
What do you think that guy was?
Yeah, I know. I got some call from an automated account today saying your name is being used in a lawsuit. Call back. It's like, shut up. I know. You're calling from New Brunswick.
But if you get a live person, though, you can have some fun and talk them in a circle.
Yeah. I guess. Although they're always shocked that you actually answered. If you actually get a live person, there's a pause, and they're like, oh, my God, someone actually answered.
We got a pigeon here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to dance around this idiot, because who answers their phone?
Yeah.
Especially on live radio. Jabari Greer in studio next. Bob McKenzie will be in studio in the next hour. Leafs in action tonight in San Jose. Big Thursday nighter as well. Seahawks, Packers, and both teams are in must-win mode because Seattle's not catching the Rams. I mean, the NFC West is over, but if they can get into a wild card spot, they really got to start winning some games. And same thing with the Packers in the North. You know, the Bears have played really well, but the Packers, they got a tough schedule. They're in Minnesota next week. They're in Seattle tonight. They still got at the Bears on the schedule. They got to get rocking. And to tee up the game, we're joined now by our NFL analyst, Jabari Greer. What's up, Jabari?
What's
going
on? What's going on, everybody?
Good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Happy
Before
to be
we
here.
Get to the game, yeah. You made some comments that rubbed me the wrong way.
Bring it on, brother.
Uh-oh.
You support Le'Veon Bell's decision to not play for
of course. You better believe it. You well, doggone better believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's
okay,
hear
Okay, take us through that.
Yeah.
All right, so
that.
Here we go. Saying, man. Like, you're like, this, we're okay. athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
Three of the four people at this table are athletes. Not an athlete this week.
He was an athlete.
Well,
all right, so we have three reasons. One of the first and most pressing reasons is I would hear my coach, one of my former coaches, an NFL coach, say that when he's looking at a potential free agent running back, he understands that running backs have, just like tires, have tread on them. And after about 3,000 carries, no, after, yeah, he said after about 8 to 10 years of carries, you start to understand there's a pitch count for these guys. Once they get to that, close to that pitch count, they're not going to give them the money that they would give a younger back. He told me this. This is a guy who analyzes talent for a living. Le'Veon Bell understands that as well. He understands once he gets up to a certain pitch count, they run him literally 400 times a season, all right? They're doing the same thing to James Conner right now. He understands that. That being said, he wanted to keep those hits, that pitch count low. He wanted to keep those tread on the tire. Second reason, we saw this year with our own eyes, you know, as a player, there's two things that bring you back into the locker room. The guys, the love for the game, and your commitment to fans, all right? You don't want to be seen as selfish, nor do you want to be seen to the fans, nor do you want to be seen as selfish to the players. Am I right? That being said, we saw a guy that was in a situation this year in which he had to make that same decision. He didn't like where his contract was going. He wanted to sit out, and he wanted the team to negotiate. The guy I'm talking about is Earl Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Thomas wanted to negotiate. He let them know. He sat out at the beginning of training camp.
Now, he had a contract, though.
He had a contract.
He was signed to a contract.
He was signed to a contract. That being said, he had 1 year on his contract, and it was within his rights, if he wanted to sit out, if mm-hmm. he wanted to. He had 1 year on his contract. And he said, you know what? I will take the fine. I will sit out. I need another contract. I need another long-term contract. They didn't budge. They did not move. They said, you know what? We believe he'll come in. And he did exactly that. He came in. He said himself, I didn't want to be a distraction to the guys. I want to play with my teammates. I want to show the fans that I'm not a selfish player. Gets in there and gets injured. Breaks his leg. Put millions of potential earnings out the window. He will never recoup that money. He's already almost pushing 30 right now. After coming back from a broken leg, nobody's going to give him more than $10 million coming back. Mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell understands that. It's not, there are business decisions that have to be made, and you have to put aside what the fans believe, what your teammates believe, because the truth is he will never have this opportunity to make this type of money again.
Well, on a different level, I think, didn't Dez Bryant come back and blow his Achilles out?
Yeah, but nobody wanted to sign him,
no,
right?
I know.
Like,
yeah,
he didn't have
just
a franchise tag. Right. He didn't have $14.5 million. But
the point
how much
is, he was sitting around a while and he just showed up. And
absolutely.
Boom,
it can happen.
Like, and the truth is, that's what I'm worried about the most. I'm not worried about him sitting out and getting that and what the fans or the players will feel like. I am concerned about him missing that time playing full speed NFL football, and when you get back, I don't care how much you've been working out. I don't care if you've been down there at South Beach running down the hills or running in the sand every single day. It does not replicate a full speed rep, as you know.
So
it doesn't replicate a
full speed. Are you talking about those concerns if you were to come back week or for next season
for
when
next
he shows
season.
Back up?
Yeah. For next
so
season.
So shouldn't that be buyers beware then? Like, what if he comes, he's missed a whole year?
Well,
like,
that's the documented, isn't there, that a guy that misses the whole year, It's never quite the same.
That's a concern. I would say generally that's going to be a concern going into the offseason. But I believe that the upside outweighs that.
Okay.
What he can do as a football player in the backfield as well as a receiver, this guy can change. He can totally transform an organization. You know, his off-the-field issues aside, you know, because everybody that I've played with that's played with him says that he's a great teammate. That being said, you can build an offense around Le'Veon Bell. You can build an offense around him. And the team that gets him is going to be a good team. It's going to be a lucky team.
How much money do you think will be waiting for him in the offseason? Do you think he gets the most guaranteed ever for a running back this offseason?
I don't think he gets more than Todd Gurley.
No.
I think he gets between $13 and $15 million a year. I think he gets $30-45 million guaranteed.
We thought 40.
Yeah, 40. I think Gurley basically got 40, give or take, if it all works out. I think.
I think they're similar players, but I believe that Gurley's played. He's played the game pretty well, and actually hit the market at a good time.
Right
at the perfect time.
Jabari Greer in studio. The Steelers are doing a bit of PR backpedaling because yesterday came out that they were messing with his stuff and all that. And now today they're saying, listen, we're just goofing around. We love Le'Veon Bell, but it's closure. He's out. No one stole his stuff. He got his shoes back. Which story do you actually believe?
I mean, the truth is, if they did, so what? This guy has money in the bank. Let him have a couple of J's, man. Let him have a couple pair of shoes.
We were talking about it yesterday. Like, if one of the guys left or got traded or whatever,
of course
guys are like vultures.
Locker. Yeah,
like,
you're right. Know, of course I'm going to his locker. That's just the temperature in the locker room. Yeah. Guys have a good time. You know, hey, we love Le'Veon. It's great. But you leaving all this stuff here? Man, please.
He's not walking in to get it.
Not at all.
Especially if you're a lesser light that hardly plays or practice squad or something. I don't know, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
That would suck if it's like Roethlisberger that's taking it. It's like, go buy your own shoes.
We've said it. I don't know how it is for you, but we've talked about it. Guys make $5, $10 million, whatever. Somebody comes in with a box of free T-shirts and throws
it
in the middle of
them. It doesn't matter.
Dog pile for it. That's how guys are.
Gross.
It's gross.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing because they could buy millions of those T-shirts, but guys will just dog pile for anything free.
There's nothing rich people like more than free stuff.
Right. I play with a guy, multi-million dollar player. For Christmas, there was like a gift card for ice cream. And he went crazy that his kid didn't get one at the Christmas game. I'm thinking, what do you care? You could buy the store.
Yeah. Go buy a Baskin Robbins.
Yeah. But his answer was, it's about principle.
It always is.
I get it, but man, buy the ice cream store.
Jabari Greer, our NFL analyst in studio. Of the two coaches going tonight, Mike McCarthy, Pete Carroll, who do you think is on thinner ice?
Oh, Mike McCarthy. Have to say.
So? Yeah.
Mike McCarthy. Look, you start with Pete Carroll. What Pete Carroll has done with a totally different roster, I think, is extremely admirable. You lose a Legion of Boom. You have all these off-the-field distractions. Your offensive line couldn't block for anything. You couldn't run the football. Russell Wilson was getting sacked every other time he dropped back. They went out and got two guys on the offensive line. They are one of the best running football teams in the NFL, the best, averaging 150 yards per game. New look secondary, got guy Shaquille Griffin who's playing like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Shaquem Griffin, who is playing like a dog. These guys, the way that they can pinpoint talent, I think is admirable, given what he had to overcome. Pete Carroll. Mike McCarthy, it seems as if he is squandering the best opportunity that has been presented to Aaron Rodgers in a long time. You have a running back. First of all, you get rid of Ty Montgomery because of some off-the-field issues.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Montgomery is a staple in that locker room. He's a guy that could play multiple positions. He's a guy that knows how to win, understands the ebb and the flow of not only the game but the seasons. You can't replace players like that who understands that – things are going to normalize. You have to be able to be calm and cautious. They have Jimmy Graham, barely getting him the football.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Jones should be one of the leading running backs in the NFL this year. He should be top five. Barely get him the football. He's only had over 18 carries one time.
And Rodgers has been vocal about that.
Exactly.
Publicly, which is kind of strange for a quarterback to call out a head coach that way.
You get rid of people don't understand. You get rid of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. That right there was a bit red flag for me. Because the thing is, like, just like I'm sure in hockey, there are certain positions that if you can get rid of certain positions. But if you get rid of that goalie.
Yeah.
You know, like that is a position that not only has leadership, but it also it means stability. In the NFL, it's that free safety position. If you get rid of your free safety, if you get rid of your middle linebacker, it's just like getting rid of your quarterback. Mm-hmm. He got rid of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the guy that patrols, that calls the plays, that gets everybody lined up in the secondary. You have two rookie corners. You have two young guys corner playing corner. You have to be able to communicate, and especially in this environment, they are playing in the Seattle Seahawks home stadium. I don't know if you guys have ever been there.
No.
That is the loudest stadium in the NFL. It is treacherous. It's crazy. Excuse me. It's crazy. Wow. That being said, you need to have some type of veteran leadership back there calling the plays, getting your guys lined up, and they lost that with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And I think that Mike McCarthy should shoulder the blame with the way that he's used his personnel.
Jabari Greer in studio. Looking at the NFC North, you know, the Bears, they put it together, right? Like they blew that game at Lambeau week one, where they hold on to that. They're 7-2 and they're really rocking.
The Bears.
Like, I look at the schedule with the Packers, and I know the Vikings are a part of this too, but I'm not sure they can lose more than one more game. And they're at Seattle tonight. They're at Minnesota next week. They're at the Bears week 15.
Oof.
I don't know if they can get this back on the rails. Right. How do you feel about the
Bears? And it was slam dunk.
Yeah, especially Rodgers. Yeah. And he still might be able to do that, but I don't know if the Packers can get back in.
No, I don't think they're going to run a table. The good thing about the NFC is that it's a pretty weak conference. They might be able to get in on a wild card spot if they win three out of those four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to beat Minnesota at Minnesota. I don't think they're going to beat Chicago at Chicago. I honestly don't think they're going to beat Seattle at Seattle tonight. But that being said, they play the Jets.
Right.
They play
Falcons
the Falcons.
Home.
You know, so these teams aren't they're not playing very well right now.
Right.
But the good thing, like as I said before, the NFC is pretty weak. And you can possibly get in winning 8 or 9 games in for the wild card spot.
Jabari Greer, our TSN NFL analyst in studio. We're talking about this Patrick Mahomes piece where I guess he's just a catch-up freak. He loves catch-up on everything. And he's kind of embarrassed by it because he knows that everyone's watching him in Kansas City.
Yes.
And I can't imagine what that kind of spotlight would be like. Like, everybody in Kansas City would know this guy.
Yes.
Everybody, to the point where it's affecting his life.
Yeah.
Not on the field, but, I mean, is it possible to sympathize for a superstar like that or what?
You know, I often think about that. And guys would have conversations about this. Would you want to be Drew Brees? Would you honestly? Everybody would want the paycheck. You know, everybody would want the accolades. But would you want
to deal with the pain in the ass?
Would you want to not be able to get up and go get something from the grocery store at 12 o'clock, at night?
Something.
Like, the thing is that we like being, you know, we love being professional athletes. We love when people say, hey, I know you. But the truth is that there is an advantage to being able to blend in. You know, guys like Patrick Mahomes now, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, these guys who are visible. And I know it's bad for basketball players because these guys are six forever.
Absolutely.
You know, these guys can't even blend in. Even if you don't know their name, you know there's something different about
these
guys.
You know they play.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, being able to blend in is, you know, that's a superpower. But you get a guy like Patrick Mahomes, he can't blend in anywhere. And I think I'm sure that that's a burden. And I'm sure that there has to be some type of service that can offer, you know, some type of
relief
for some of these guys, you know. So I always wonder, you know, if I could start one of those businesses where I can actually just go to Starbucks for Drew and get him his
just be a help.
His pumpkin spice latte.
It's like a pro concierge where it's like whatever you want, but at the end of the day you don't get to go out and enjoy a dinner.
They have handlers.
The problem. Your life is affected.
But
you're not allowed to live
your
life.
I told you the last hour. You go to a restaurant, it's like, I'm not sitting with everyone else. Give me a private room. And that's end of story.
But I tell you what, the issue with that, and this is a deeper issue, as a man who's went through retirement, I actually had to find this out for myself, is that you have a guy, because I'm sure it is, it's like this in the NHL too. They tell you, listen, focus on the game. You have a guy like Patrick Mahomes who gets to delegate every single thing. I'm sure a lot of superstars have to delegate just even going to the grocery store. And once you're done with whatever sport you play, you're done playing football, you're done playing hockey, you're done playing baseball, you have to learn how to live everyday life. Like, how do I book a doctor's appointment? Like, how do I honestly you know, do these simple things that we take for granted, that people take for granted, that they've never had to do because they've always had somebody doing these things for them. They've always had somebody told them, to tell them to delegate those responsibilities.
I used to love when I played with guys and they're like, they would get traded to our team and it would be like, they would be telling some guys saying, make sure my wife's picked up from the airport and pick her up flowers. And I was just like,
go get her yourself.
But you do. But it's like,
you got a car, go get her yourself.
I think the bigger, you know, acclimated into society is more, you know, you got to go wait in line at the doctor's office.
Oh, yeah,
stuff like
exactly.
That.
You don't get to go through the back door.
Because
you're not getting that MRI this hour.
Immediately, because on the team, they've got their own MRI machine. If they got access to things. You need stitches, it's done right there. Yeah. You need something, you know, your wife needs something, your kids need something. It's one phone call away, and it's right there. Now you're back in regular society, and you know, it is an adjustment, but I think if you stay close to it, I was a guy who always tried to stay close to doing stuff like that. That way it wasn't that big of an adjustment, but there are players that I played with were completely oblivious.
Yes.
You know, like couldn't walk into an apartment and know how to pay for it or put ass wipe in there. Like they didn't know what they were doing. Like no joke, like pay the bills or like, oh.
Just stupid. They're stupid.
Let's not talk about filing taxes now. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. That'll catch up to you.
But then those guys get taken care of and they get taken to the cleaner sometimes with people that they trust, and those people take advantage of them, too. So you've got to be on top of
that. That's another thing. You're like, okay, someone else is doing it, but you have no idea what kind of money they're taking out.
Exactly.
I got rinsed one time. I had this lady looking after my stuff, and she was paying my bills, you know, the cleaning lady paying for dry cleaning. And once I came home and I noticed that there was this brutal, ugly looking shirt in my dry cleaning, I'm like, I went up to her and I go, whose shirt is this? She's like, oh, that's my husband's. I'm like, oh.
Mixing those in.
Yeah.
So it sent off a little alarm bell. I'm paying for her husband's dry, probably her whole family.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So then I started going through the checks and I'm like, my house, all I did was go to the couch to my room. That's all I did. I watched TV and I'd go to bed. It was a big house. I'm like, it would probably cost somebody $50 to clean this place. She was charging herself, writing herself a check for $457 to clean my house. I said, I go, you charge yourself $500 to clean my house? All I do is go from the couch to my bed.
I know what it is.
So then I said to her, I'm like, look, you either make up these payments or you're going to have a problem on your hands. I go, because I got all the checks here.
Let me guess. Ninja dust.
No.
Disappeared.
She had to wash the drawers, man.
Wow. Yeah,
that's what I was saying. The 457 is hazard pay.
Yeah,
she's got to get up and watch you get off the couch and go upstairs and in your bathrobe or
walking in on you taking a shower costs $500.
Hired her cousin to do brand new landscaping all over my place. I'm like, it was just done. It's all brand new.
Yeah.
I just had to float him some. It was just.
No, yeah.
He's
lucky. I would have.
First world problems right here.
Exactly.
Good seeing you, Jabari. Thanks for joining
us. Awesome. Enjoy it always.
There's Jabari Greer, NFL analyst and longtime NFLer, Super Bowl champ down in New Orleans. Big Thursday nighter tonight on TSN. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Bob McKenzie in studio at 6:20. Bob McKenzie will be in studio at 6:20. Leafs in San Jose taking on the Sharks tonight. Freddie Anderson, Martin Jones. Erik Karlsson still has not scored a goal this year. So Karlsson v. the GOAT. Who breaks out with a goal tonight?
I'm going to take Karlsson.
I'm going to take the GOAT.
I think the GOAT picks up a point in the next two nights.
You think so?
Yep.
100.
Chips in. All right.
You're $100 on that?
You still owe me 50 from the last bet.
No.
Beansy.
What was the
You're
last
so
bet?
Deep in the hole that it's become just... I don't even remember what the last bet was.
We
got to
start marking it down. There's somebody on Twitter that keeps track of Jerry's percentages. Somebody's going to have to keep track of these bets that you guys make and see who's actually in the hole and who's not.
Can I hear the gaffe at the beginning of the show? You were mentioning something, and then I wasn't paying attention.
It was 6 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
It
you
was
have it?
Something
All right, go ahead.
About her.
Oh, that's coming. Yeah, that's happening. That's like that movie Her.
Yeah.
Remember that with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
People are marrying robots. There was a movie about a guy that was in love with his cell phone, I think. What was the guy's name?
It's called Her.
It's called Her. I think Joaquin Phoenix was in that. Yeah. 48 seconds apart. 48 seconds.
You were zoned out.
Where did you go for those 48 seconds?
It was the...
I don't know.
Where were you?
It was Dollarama.
You know what I was doing? I was trying to get my Wi-Fi. Because the Wi-Fi here, it's garbage.
It's always a problem with you guys and your... Because you bring laptops
in. Wouldn't you think
in.
You work in a telecommunications building? Yeah, it's easy. You what?
I know.
You walk in and there's Wi-Fi just automatically on.
Yeah.
It's garbage. Just like the calf. Sucks.
Don't talk garbage about the calf. They have drastically improved.
Yeah, they redid the calf, but wouldn't you think they'd get a smoothie booth and everything nice in there? It's crap.
I will say this. They upped their game in the last couple of days. They brought in caramel muffins.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Good
what
for
a
you.
Great what a great thing.
Good well, I know, them. But you got to pull it together a little.
Like,
bit.
I want to start being on some boards in this building. Like, I have to redo the calf and make it better. I'll be on the calf board. You can, too.
Why would you want to be on the calf board?
Because I can make it better. I can tell you what to do.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think they could use one, but I don't think there's ever going to be a cafeteria board.
No.
Well,
up
let's
here.
Start one
I don't
and
think
make
they
things
care
better.
Well, Carmelo Anthony might want to be a part of that board because he's going to be unemployed soon. The Houston Rockets, they're going to waive him. He's done. He's out. And I just saw, I think it was Chris Sheridan, who's an NBA insider, reporting that Elton Brand, the GM of the Sixers,
don't do it.
Really thinking about bringing in Melo. I say do it. Bring in Jimmy Butler, bring in Melo, and let that just sink.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. If you're a Raptors fan, you're praying that the Sixers bring in Carmelo Anthony. That's where offense goes to die. I don't know what happened in Houston, but obviously it got ugly to the point where they're like, we got to get rid of this guy.
I love the NBA players that were tweeting out last week, Melo deserves better than this. Really? Does he?
Does he? Really? Because he's still getting paid.
He's been a train wreck for 5 to 6 years.
When you can't play anymore, man.
That's it.
That's the way it goes. What do you mean deserves better? What, he's supposed to get a start because he's Carmelo Anthony? He started for 15 years. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's a 10-time All-Star. He's a great talent, great player.
But
you don't just get a free pass the rest of your career because you're a good guy, Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, that's the...
When was he good last? Like Denver?
No, he was good with the Knicks, but I don't know. It got ugly pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's been a while.
All right. Bob McKenzie will be in studio. And Leaf Sharks tonight, we're looking back on the Raptors choke job late and Dwayne Casey's reaction. We'll get back into that. And a big Thursday nighter as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.